The podcast you're about to hear is a comedy show intended for an adult audience, and it contains explicit language. All opinions are our own, and we may sometimes go on tangents that are not at all about figure skating. Strap in, enjoy, and remember, our safe word is Quad Sal. Let's go. Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Neda. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, it's winter, so my body is just kind of mad at me. But that's gotta continue to be the case until it's sunny and warm out, which is not gonna be for... Have you seen that TikTok? I mean, it's a trend, but like, have you seen the original? I think it's from like a year or two ago, of the woman who's like, this is what it feels like now that it gets dark at 4 p.m. And it's her like closing her laptop and then she becomes a pilgrim.
Or like, no, but that's so real.
Or like she becomes like some old timey lady and the whole thing is like her in the dark with like a single candle, which is being like, come, I shall make us a soup. Like shit,
yes,
like that.
Yes, it's, yes.
It gets me. That's me. I've just been making soups and daydreaming about the beautiful first rays of spring. But I'm also, we also, parting the curtain, we just spent like half an hour talking about our local ice rinks and like Christmas and stuff. So I'm also excited about that duality of man, I guess. We're here to talk about our last Grand Prix event of the series, excluding the final. I know semantically the final is also part of it, but we're done with the lead up. We're done with 12 person events where we're doing calculus. And because everything is weird, we ended up in Finland for the last one. We were in Helsinki and skating happened.
It did. And I'm gonna be honest, like, I kind of went into it thinking, like, okay, most of the spots are decided. I don't know that there's any, like, crazy last gasp battles that I'm, like, on the edge of my seat for in terms of, like, who's going to get that sixth spot or whatever, at least in singles. I don't know.
Again, we don't cover the rest of them. That's going to be my running gag this season. In Ice Dance, beautiful, perfect Mark Henretti described the free dance as the Hunger Games of Ice Dance. So that is all you need to know about what's happening out there.
Yeah, and that's kind of fitting because I feel like the Olympics is sort of a quarter quell. It happens once every 4 years, right?
Oh my God. Huge if true.
I
bet someone's written like a Hunger Games figure skating AU. Or it's probably, the,
you know, who
opposite.
Has, you know who has done that? You know who has done that? Tara and Johnny. They've written the spec script and pitched it to their agents as like them in it, I guarantee.
Oh God, and they're the like fancy capital people. They already kind of dress like
they it. Already are. They already are. But what I wanted to say was that I went into this thinking, gosh, I don't know if this is gonna be the most exciting event of my lifetime. But it was really surprisingly stacked. What it lacked in like the intrigue of, oh my gosh, who's going to win and what's going to happen and who's going to get to the final, for me personally, it made up for in being an event that was basically just curated to have all my faves in it. And I felt like it was an ice show that someone made for me for my birthday.
I love that for you. I also always find the vibes in Finland very fun. Whoever their rink announcer is, I'm obsessed with. The guy, I mean, both of them were great, but like the guy who like puts so much juice in everyone's name and is like, I like Roman Sadowski. I'm like, yes, bitch, like absolutely that energy. Like, I love that.
Yeah, like he was taking a day off from his gig at like WrestleMania and he came over here to pick up some extra cash. That's the energy we need.
Something my dad really loves is those videos where it's like, here's what would happen if like soccer and golf like traded announcers. And it's like people like doing very quiet commentary on like a very intense soccer match or something. And this guy gave the exact same energy for ice skating to me. And I love that. I love, and also like the arena was fucking packed. Like the energy was so, so, so big and exciting. And I always like that, even when I'm just, you know, sitting at home by myself watching on my projector. It's fun to feel like you're involved in, like, the big, like, buzz of the whole thing. Before we even start talking about, we're going to talk about the podiums. We're going to, like, cover whoever ended up on there. The ice, and obviously I wasn't there. I don't know. Rumor has it, by which I mean I've seen people say that the ice was super soft, or, like, softer than most people are used to. And it looked like it. And it looked so slippery in a way that made me stressed out for the duration of the watching of this event. And I just wanted to get ahead of that and just say that.
I heard that it had dead bugs in it, which, I mean, I don't know how you prevent that. But
you don't.
But, okay, question. Mm-hmm. All ice is terrifyingly slippery to me. Can you explain what soft ice is like as opposed to, like, I assume you want it harder? Like, what's
the
difference?
You want it, I personally, I mean, everyone wants it the way it is at whatever rank they skate at.
Okay, yeah.
Whatever they're used to. When ice is softer to me, and again, like, obligatory disclaimer that I jump singles and I'm an adult skater and, like, what the fuck do I know? But
you know more than me, which is why I asked you.
To me, when ice is softer, it just feels like your blades, like, sink in more than you would like. Because obviously you want to be cutting into the ice. Like, that's mm-hmm. how you differentiate a good skater from, like, an amateur, is that good crunch that you hear. Like, the slice of the edges into the ice, as opposed to skating on top of it, which is what like, most people do. Is, like, you don't really dare to, like, carve out for yourself and, like, you know, do the pretty figures and everything. When it's softer, it gives more. So if you're used to, like, pushing a certain amount to, like, get on your beautiful deep outside edge, when the ice, I mean, imagine, like, an ice cube that's, like, been out for a teeny tiny bit, it just kind of starts to, like, cave in, right?
I mean, I'm picturing walking on ground after it's rained. Like,
yes.
It's just a little squishier and, like, yeah. Your shoe gets stuck sometimes.
Or like if you're at the beach and you are walking on, like, damp sand, it has, like, that little, like, cushioning. And it's, like, really different and really specific. And sometimes, like, even at the same rank, you'll have different days, because obviously that's affected by, like, how warm it is outside and, like, how well the cooling and or heating at the rink is working. And,
how,
like,
hungover the Zamboni driver was.
Literally yesterday at my rink, exact same rink as always, exact same Zamboni, exact same Zamboni driver. We stepped onto the ice for our morning session, and it was randomly just so fucking nice. Like, it was so, like, extra smooth, like, smoother than usual. To the point where my coach was like, yeah, let's just, like, have fun with this. And we did, like, knee glides and, like, lunges and stuff for, like, 25 minutes before, obviously, like, because we're skating, the ice ended up getting cut up. But it was literally just, like, a random occasion of, like, huh, this ice is really nice. We can, like, do things and not worry about, like, getting a couple of extra scrapes on your knees because it's not 100% perfect. So
that's gorgeous.
Like, it kind of really depends.
I was going to say, I wish that had been the case for Vinlandia. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you'll never know. Like, many, many things come into play with stuff like that. And I don't know how you repair the ice, so I couldn't possibly tell you. I do want to tell you one last story from my rank before we continue, which would maybe outdo the dead bugs. Which, like, shit like that happens.
Like, outdoor rinks, there's always, like, a yeah. fossilized leaf situation.
Exactly.
A leaf for me? Sorry, that's my new thing that I can't stop saying. If you've seen Frankenstein, you know. But, like, every day
haven't.
I go, you have it? Oh, my God.
No.
Every day of my life, I just go, a leaf for me.
I love when there's a leaf for you. I'm excited. I've been meaning to, like, I really want to make it atmospheric and, like, sit down and, like, watch the movie properly. Because it didn't come to cinemas here. So I want to, like,
I streamed
shit.
It at home. I home cinemaed yeah. it, like, two nights in a row. It was great.
I want to do that. But, yeah, someone at my rank recently, like, ran out of tissues or something. So they brought a roll of toilet paper to the rink, which is perfect and fine and like a very reasonable thing to do, because it's just paper. Like, let's not be silly about it. But like a beautiful long ribbon of it fell in the way of the Zamboni, as the Zamboni was already cleaning the ice. So it ended up fossilized under several layers of ice for like 2 weeks.
That's art.
So we just had like this like strip of toilet paper by the boards for like, I would say like a week or so. And then like, obviously like the ice gets like cut up and like repaired over and over. So it like ends up digging itself out and then disappearing. But
that's beautiful. But that's
shit
an
like that, shit like that happens. Yeah, it was a durational performance. It was awesome.
It's like a Duchamp on ice.
Yeah. Let's do women, because women was pretty straightforward. I love women.
Let's talk about women. Okay. So in third place with the bronze medal was Rino Matsuike from Japan.
Climbing her way up from sixth in the short, the women kind of mend a teeny tiny bit. Also, a beautiful shout out to wonderful Luna Hendrix, who had to withdraw because she was not feeling great. So...
yes, citing lack of proper nutrition leading up to the competition. And I wish is that this was just a case of like, I got too excited and had a couple of cheeseburgers and then I felt weird, instead of like, didn't eat enough cheeseburgers, you know, like that's, yeah. I hope that she's taking care of herself and yeah, that's I whatever. Mean, I frankly, don't know her life, but.
I don't want to speculate, but it did kind of sound like an elaborate euphemism for like a tummy bug that like doesn't let you eat a lot because things are happening to the tummy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but I mean, I trust her. She's a long, yeah, she's an athlete, yeah, with a longstanding career. It's just in a sport with so many eating disorders that like freaked, yeah, me out, but yeah, okay.
No, it did sound kind of like she's just like not been able to like properly take care of herself.
Who among us has not had a gastrointestinal, yep, emergency in the last 10 minutes while recording this podcast that we had to edit out? Not me.
Yep. No. But yeah, so this women's field was one, it was smaller. We ended up with 10 skaters as opposed to the usual 12 because Luna withdrew. And also we started at 11 to begin with because of the whole thing where Nina had to withdraw and then Sophia couldn't get there in time because of visa things. So it was already kind of a shaky women's field in terms of just like, it was weird. Like all of the women who skated were great, but it was like, oh, like this is unusual. This is not what it's like most of the time. And then there was kind of some movement around as well. So it was kind of interesting. But Reno, it worked out for Reno, who had a shaky short and then was like, you know what, I have showed up to show everyone beautiful skating, and my god, she did.
Yeah, it just, I feel like, I mean, yeah, there were a lot of rotation issues with the women in this event, and I'm not going to pretend that Reno wasn't one of them. Yep. And that she had many deductions and things that like the tech panel looks over it afterwards and is like, oh, you know, ding here, ding there, yeah, whatever. Like that was a big part of it. But I think that her PCS was criminal. And I think that six was too low for the short program. And I think I've said it before and I'll keep saying it until it goes away. I don't understand why we need to have a penalty on PCS if you make a tech error or if you fall or if you do any, I mean, not that, you know what I mean? I'm just saying like, there's the thing where you can't get higher than 875 on PCS if you make X amount of like tech mistakes. And that feels like you're just punishing them twice for the same thing because they're also getting punished for the tech mistake. And so why would you take ostensibly a separate score that's meant to reward something else and say, well, but you know, if you don't have your, yeah, dinner, you can't have dessert. That's stupid as fuck. And I hate it.
I guess it comes down to, like, I don't abide by it, but I feel like the reasoning is something about how part of PCS is skating skills. And we come into the thing of, like, what do we mean when we say that? Because I feel like if you're, like, taking it quite, like, super literally, you're like, well, obviously your skate, like, your skill of being able to skate can't be that fucking good if you're, like, tripping or, like, falling over. But that's not what that rubric should mean. So it's one of the many things where it's like PCS is meaningless unless we know exactly what people are looking for, and most of the time, yeah, we don't.
And not only that, but, like, I'm sorry. I mean, again, not to get into Ice Dance because I actually really don't know much about it. But as far as I understand, there's not much jumping in Ice Dance. And so, therefore, does that mean that they should all just get, like, a zero PCS? Like, I don't get it.
Oh, my God. It's so different. We can't even get into it. It's completely different. But, like, the tech panel, Finlandia tech panel was rough and strict. It was extra that on the Ice Dancers, to the point where they were, like, speaking out about it, being like, yo, what do you want from us? Shout out Piper Gillies. But that's, like, a whole other thing. Like, it means Ice Dance is just a completely different sport.
It's just a different sport, yeah.
It's just different, anyway, but my God.
The fact that it exists is proof to me that you can have a bit different rubric for skating that doesn't involve, like, the jumps and whatever. Anyway, all that to say that Rena was robbed and I love her. But you know what's interesting to me?
What?
Is that from a technical standpoint, mm-hmm. she last year always struggled with her short and then her free was the gorgeous, iconic Lux Aeterna. And then this year she's repurposed that into a short, which I think was really smart strategically, because if her short is her weaker end of the event, then, you know, let's take something we're already good at, we know really slays, and we're going to just, like, make that our short. And it's interesting to me to see that it still was the short program that got her, and then the free was her comeback, and even though the free was now not Lux Aeterna, the free is the Nutcracker, which is stunning, and I'm obsessed with it. But, like, it's just so interesting the way some skaters are just better with one and,
yeah.
and
you know. I mean, I guess, like, it's a different, like, stamina thing and also, like, a different mental preparation kind of thing, because obviously the short is physically shorter and there is fewer elements and, like, all of that sounds like it should be easier, but also, like, it gives you less breathing room, it gives you less, like, time to, like, find your footing and, like, figure yourself out and, like, recenter if something has gone wrong in the beginning and stuff like that. So I guess, like, we really, really see that with different skaters, that some people are just, like, really good at, like, they have all of this power, like, ready to go for, like, 2.5 minutes or, like, 3 minutes or, like, however long a short program is for different, like, seniors, juniors, whatever. You see, like, some people are super, super good at just, like, banging it out in one go. And then you have skaters who need, like, the extra minute and a half, 2 minutes of, like, even if something goes wrong, there is more margin to fix things. There is more time to, like, figure yourself out. Figure out how your feet feel in your boots and, like, how soft the ice is and everything.
Yeah, and mentally, too, like, I mean, not even from a skating perspective, but just from, like, a nerves performance perspective, I'm sitting here thinking, I know, even as a person with no stamina at all, I would definitely be way more in my head about the short, just for all the reasons you said. And 2.5 minutes, I mean, how long does it take from the moment you step out on stage? Let's say you're in a play and the play is 3 hours long. The first 2.5 minutes you're out on stage, you might feel nervier than you do for the rest of the play.
Well, yeah, especially let's say theater or, like, drag or, like, anything else that I do and can speak to. 2.5 minutes could feel like the entire world, like, it could feel like the history of the entire world, or it could feel like a blink of an eye. And especially with, like, something like a play, by the end of it, like, you know your audience, you know what they're responding to, like, you know how to connect with them better, and the expectation that you should be able to, like, get that vibe check in the 6 minute warm-up and then just kind of be ready to, like, be completely locked in, is for people who are used to, like, a more long form performance style or, like, performance media, sounds kind of crazy. Like,
yeah,
having to expecting all of that to happen in, like, a minute and a half is, like, wow.
Yeah, and then, you know, I've also heard skaters say this, that, you know, going later in the order is sometimes worse, because then you, like, you get warmed up and then you get unwarmed up, you know. Yep. And it's just anything involving temperature is also a factor. Like, I'm you know, people are like, oh, skaters must be used to being cold, but, like, rapid change in temperature is weird just from a physics standpoint. So I'm just thinking of all these factors, but anyway, I'm just going also, on a tangent,
like,
all this, like,
also, like, while we're just tangenting
about how hard factors, skating
how hard skating is, there is always the thing of, like, I always think about, like, whenever someone gets a really, really good score and the commentator is like, oh, imagine, like, hearing that and having to go next. And it's like, that's
yeah, that's part of it. Like, that will happen. Or, like, if you're the first person, like, out in the group, it's like, oh, you're setting the standard. Like, this is... Like, there's always a different responsibility of whether it's going to be like, well, I'm going to be the first one and I set the tone. Or it's like, well, whoever was, like, before me just scored 80 points. What the fuck do I do now? Like, that kind of thing, you know?
Do you want to talk about Amber Glenn?
Amber Glenn, second place.
Amber Glenn, second place, first in the short, second in the free, which with like a result where she was like, yeah, like even a year ago, this would have been like, I would have been so happy with it. I really, really hope, before we even go into how fucking iconic and beautiful she is, I really hope that, and I know she is because she's such an outspoken advocate for like taking care of yourself. I really hope that even though she is able to like verbalize, oh yeah, this is the kind of result that I would have been happy with a year ago and nowadays, like, I want more. That she doesn't... How do I say this? That she doesn't, like, become hard on herself for objectively very good results. You know?
Yeah, and I think that...
And I trust her to, like... I know that she's one of the, like, most, like, well-adjusted therapized skaters out there. So I'm not super worried, but it's that kind of thing where I'm like, oh, this could be very, like, motivational, or it could be, like, please take care of yourself, you know?
Well, I think it's one of the biggest things about the Grand Prix, and I think this is, like, a pretty good example where, depending on your event and the yep. lineup of who's there, a different number could be a different color medal or not a medal at all at any of the other events that have happened. And yeah. So it's like, and because of the way that the final qualifications are, color medal actually does matter in a way that it almost kind of doesn't
yeah.
anywhere else other than just for like bragging rights.
Yeah.
So it's like score is the tiebreak, color medal is the number one determinant. That's the yeah. points. And so I think that for that reason, it becomes really easy in the Grand Prix to focus on the where in the standings did you get. And for Amber yeah. to have been undefeated last year, including with the final, obviously for her to then get a silver, it was like, oh, well, that's just not as good.
Yeah. But then you look at the actual result, the actual you do, numbers.
And you do. And first of all, she said... I knew going into this, she's just like the most gracious competitor. She was like, Monet's incredible. I was never going to beat Monet unless I did my absolute 100% best and there was some sort of miracle. So like, I think that was really gracious of her to say, because depending on who the judges are, sure, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, it's true that they're pretty well matched, I would yeah. say, number wise. And I think, I guess... The other piece of it is that's worth speaking about is that the score spread in this event was really wild because yeah. Amber and Monet, if you look at just the short program.
Spoiler alert, Monet won. Like if you're somehow listening to this and you don't know who won, we're about to talk about Monet because she ended up with the gold.
Yeah. So if we look at short program, right?
Uh-huh.
After the short, we had Maddie Skizis in third with a 65-16.
Yep.
And no one, and up to that point, no one had scored higher than that, which is yeah. crazy. And then Monet in second after the short with a 72-89, Amber in first with a 75-72, which are like both scores that are good, but like it's wild that those two were like the highest, but the highest by a huge amount.
Yeah.
And so that was a really bizarre situation also to go into. And then, you know, Amber and Monet in their first and second configuration at the end of the event are the only two to be above 200. It's interesting. I don't know.
Yeah, and it comes back to, like, the tech panel and the judges and, like, people who, like, actually decide how the math works out, because the way those people skated across disciplines wasn't, like, magically better or worse this week than it had been, like, two or three or four weeks ago. Like, yes, obviously you have better weeks and worse weeks, but it's not... You can't tell me that everyone showed up and just was across the board worse. At one point, you have to, like, be like, oh, there's different human beings making the choices of what is good and how good is good. you know?
Yeah. So for reference, mm-hmm. like last week, Star Andrews came in fifth and mm-hmm. had a total points score in the 195 zone.
Yeah.
And this
which would have been bronze here.
Which would have been bronze. It would have been higher than Reno, who ended up at the 193 range.
Yeah.
So, but
like,
you know,
it literally can't compare those because it's like everything about it is different. Like,
mm-hmm.
I bet that like if you showed this collection of people who are making up this score, like making up in terms of like comprising like judges and tech and like everyone, if you showed, for example, like Star's skate from last week or like both of her skates to end up to the big score, to the total score, they might have scored it differently. She might have ended up in the like 180 range just because they looked at it and were like, those are skating skills worthy of a 6.75 for no reason.
Yeah, like, or perhaps like Star would have had a bad time on the really soft wet ice.
Yeah.
So, like, we don't know.
Like, maybe not. Like, it's so hard to, like, so many things are factors that, yes, like, it for time to progress forward, obviously we have to, like, contemplate how this relates to like the previous event and how it's probably gonna work out for going to the final and like the rest of the season. But at the same time, it's so hard to compare things that happened at different events because everything surrounding just the skater skating is different.
Yeah, and I think the Grand Prix is honestly just like, it's such an exciting time in skating that it's easy to just get swept up in it. And mm-hmm. I think this is honestly the first year after being really, really heavily invested and paying close attention to it and following it religiously for what, like 6-7 years? Oh, God. Mm-hmm. 6 or 7 years. That I'm starting to be like maybe a little critical of the form and the way that it's put together and like just starting just questioning, like, is this the best, most fairest way we can do it, you know? And I don't have answers, but it's... I think it's just such an exciting time that it's easy to get swept up and not be like,
I feel like,
oh, okay,
any attempt, I was going to be like, well, the best, most fairest way would be if it happened at the same rank with the same judges over the same period
worlds.
Of time. And that's Worlds and that's the Olympics and that's like everything else. So I guess for what it is, this is how it works.
Yeah, it's because it's tournament logic, you know?
Yeah, we do have like other events where the point is... we have a controlled environment and everyone's dealing with the exact same thing. And even
That's true.
It's going to be the thing of like, oh, someone only had to travel 2 hours and someone had to travel for 28 and have 7 layovers. Like, you can absolutely never, until we invent a flat earth, which is all ice rink and everyone lives in the exact same conditions, we could never have like a completely sterile, like, equal environment for like every single tiny little thing that could possibly affect the thing, you know?
I'm
and that's like a
like,
bit extreme.
An army of clones in like a Squid Game environment where everyone wears the same track suit. And
Mr. Beast,
just,
if you're listening.
Mr. Beast.
Oh no.
Mr. Beast presents.
Fuck that,
the, oh my God.
The Beast, the Grand Prix of Beast Games. Of figures, the Beast Games of figure skating. There we go. That's the
perfect.
That's the title.
Anyway, Amber, gorgeous,
perfect, beautiful.
Beautiful.
What do
perfect.
You say?
What
I,
do you say?
I love her so much.
I love the Madonna. I'm
yeah, it works for me so hard.
I'm gonna be like really tasteful and like really respectful and like not say that I really think that the part where she sort of like hikes her skirt up and is like wink is like real neat. From an artistic perspective.
I love art.
I love art. I love art of
the
women
theater,
and stuff. Yeah, it's great.
The music.
Yeah.
Madonna. Caitlin Weaver. All
can
great
I,
stuff.
Can I tell you something fucking insane?
Please do.
My mom watched this with me, and mm-hmm. she doesn't usually watch skating with me, or at least, like, she'll come in for, like, just Jason Brown or something.
Yeah.
But she like, sat down and watched this event with me. And when she... My mom loves Amber.
Aww.
And, when she went, when Amber went, she was like, when did Amber dye her hair blonde? And I was like, excuse me? And she
what?
Was like, Amber, she used to have dark hair. And I'm like, she literally never did. And she goes, no, when we saw her in Green, was it Greensboro? Yeah, Greensboro. She had dark hair. And I was like, Mom, no, she didn't. This is a photo of her at that event. Like, I pulled it up. Like, this, she had blonde hair. She was in this costume. Like, don't you remember? And this is how we found out that for the past, like, 5+ years, my mom thought that Mariah Bell and Amber Glenn were the same woman.
Oh, mom, no.
And she loves them both. I think she just doesn't understand that Mariah Bell retired and Amber isn't also her. Like, I don't know how that happens. But
there are such different vibes of skater and everything.
But they're both American, and they both skated at an event that my mom went to in person. And I think they just
both
made a
have
big
a name that's just like beautiful Western girl name, single syllable last name, I guess, is a thing.
That's true. There is
a formula there, I guess.
Anyway, no, Mariah Bell's living her best life doing silly Instagram pranks to Brendan Fraser, so.
Yeah, there's I regret to inform you that their couple's content did make me chuckle, and I'm embarrassed.
The toilet is smoking was funny.
The toilet is smoking, I mean, it's like a trend. She didn't come up with it, but it's.
Well, that's, but she introduced me to it, so I thought she invented
it. I love when people look like they're having fun with each other. Is all I'm going to say here.
Yes. Somebody, well, looking like you're having fun, this is a good transition to our gold medalist, Monet Chiba.
Yeah. She looks like she has fun.
Yeah. Or does she? I don't know. That's the main question. Can I begin this by shouting out Nothing GOEs on Twitter? I don't know. This is like a fairly
nothing
new.
Nothing GOEs on Twitter. I am so jealous.
I'm
what
so
you
jealous
get to do.
I was because, literally, yeah.
Because we have to be so nice and measured. Like, yes, we are your favorite woke and left leaning, spicy takes podcast in the field, and even then, I'm a great writer. I have an experience writing satire and comedy. Please reach out. I'll write under a pseudonym. I am so ready. Please.
We are so ready to just anonymously contribute if you want. We've done, we can send you samples because we did back in the day, like for Reddit, like a reductress, like headlines on skaters that I still think about and laugh because I make myself laugh and nobody else. But
I think about Tristan Baeva, I'm going to commit arson once a day. And that wasn't us, but I think about it. The fucking like skaters is, skaters is Tumblr posts or whatever.
Yeah, so good. And anyway,
I'm jealous.
So,
congrats.
I'm jealous.
Welcome.
There's always a small part of me in the back of my head that's like, what if we did that? And then now I'm like, okay, well, now we don't have to, but also like, they're
welcome to the field
the field of skating comedy.
Skating comedy. You. There is five of us, and we have a great time here.
We do. Anyway, so shout out to Nothing GOEs if you're listening. We love you. But
Tell us. Obviously, you can't tell us because that's going to ruin the magic, but I hope you're listening.
I hope you're listening. So I want to say that the Nothing GOEs, what's their handle on Twitter so we can, it's,
oh my God.
It's at Nothing GOEs. GOES. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Anyways, Scott Moir is group.
I just opened them up, and the first thing that I saw was Mark Henretius, People's Sexiest Man Alive, which
yes, yeah,
he is a friend of the pod, so I'm gonna say nothing.
Yeah, I'll say it. Sure.
Yeah.
So
no, he's handsome and caring.
We love you, Mark. So the thing I wanted to say about Nothing GOEs was that my favorite thing that they posted was the Monet Chiba, and it said like. For those of you who don't know, Nothing GOEs is a satire. It's a skating, it's like the skating onion, basically. It's like satire of things that didn't happen but are funny. And they put a picture of Monet Chiba posing like in a sassy way. And it was like,
I'm the picture of Monet posing in a sassy way
from
last year.
It's the picture. And I'm gonna read to you what
verbatim.
It says. It says, Monet Chiba reacts to being the only women skater to win both Grand Prix events this season. Quote, girl, whatever. Let's go get some fucking margaritas.
And it's her in her little pink dress from last year, the last dance.
With the sneakers. It's very special to me as somebody who used to go to the club in a sequin blouse and sneakers when I was her age, which is a problem. But
this is what is done nowadays. As an avid club goer, you can get yourself a nice pair of New Balances and you're the it girl. Like, it's the whole thing.
All right. Well, that was not the case when I was going, and I guess I was
ahead of your time.
I was ahead of my time. But anyway, that post did more to make me like Monet Chiba than anything up to that point. And I know that it's not real. I know that it's not real, right? But it shifted my perspective. It took me into, like, a new place of just being like, Megan, this, it's just, like, it's funny and it's not that big of a deal. And, like, it's cute and funny. And, like, she's probably, yeah, like, she would probably also think that's funny and, like, whatever. Like,
would she? I don't know. I don't know her.
I don't know her either. I mean, I think, I assume skaters think things are funny that are funny. But what I mean to say here is that I think I was really like, oh no, like she's too serious and she's not emoting, blah, blah, blah. And it kind of just got me to be like, you know what? Like some skaters just aren't the best at that. And like, that's okay. And like, I was thinking, I was looking inward to myself and I was thinking about how as a performer, particularly as a singer, I guess, when I'm in a position of singing at a gig where I'm just kind of not playing a character, I'm kind of myself, like at a church gig or like a party or like it's whatever you're hired and you're not playing a character in a scene. I don't know what to do with my fucking face either. And like, I have, I think that.
Megan, do we need to talk about acting the song?
No, I do act the song, but listen to me. Listen to me when I say.
No.
Listen to me when I say this. Certain people's faces have smiles, and the shape of the smile is really conducive to looking like a smile in any context. And some people have kind of like quirky, goofy smiles that don't really look like a traditional smile. And so unless you're in a really genuine context with them, it doesn't always read as a smile. And so then they're faced with like, do I do my natural smile, which doesn't look like a smile, or do I do a fake one that looks fake? And that's something that I think is what's happening to Monet, is that she has like an adorable crooked smile, and that if she were to do that on ice, it would maybe not read the way she wants. So she's doing this other smile that is like maybe not her real smile, and that's why we're like, oh, I don't know, maybe that seems fake. But I can relate to that, because when I smile naturally in real life, the corners of my mouth go down and I look like I'm frowning. So when I'm performing, I have often been told that I look like, when I think I'm looking like beautiful and happy, that I look like I'm scheming. So
I mean, it's the, like, I know something you don't, like, yeah, smile.
Yeah, it's it's the smile of, like, apparently, like, my smile that I do as, like, I'm smiling because I'm happy to be here performing for you is, like, I don't know, coy. Like, I don't mean for it to be. I just, like, it's very, like, ha, ha, ha. Like, I know something. Exactly. It's I know something you don't. And so I think that Monet will get there, and I think that she'll learn how to harness that for herself. But I can relate to her as a girl whose natural smile isn't automatically, like, the perfect pageant smile.
Yeah, I have two things to say. One, this is yet another argument for the way that most, if not all, good skaters take like dance classes and stuff. I do think everyone should be taking like an acting class, because that will help. And I'm not joking. Like, I was like smiling to myself while we were talking about it. And I do think that like it helps. Like, not even just like in terms of like, oh, like, I'm skating as Juliet. Like, what does Juliet's face need to look like? Whatever. It's literally, like, because of the amount of, like, acting training that I personally, for example, have, I know what the muscles in my face do to the point where I can, like, I find that, especially, like, with drag, because obviously, like, with the big, big makeup, it's, like, over-exaggerated so much that, like, any little twitch of the face, like, gives a very different vibe and expression and everything. So, like, I've gotten super, super good. Wow, look at me praising myself. I've gotten like very good at like micro expression and like having that mean something.
I would like to clarify too that what you said is what I mean, and I don't want to come off like I'm criticizing the way that Monet's face is, because she's obviously so cute and adorable and charming. And I mean it like it's so hard. Like, this is, we both know this, it's acting 101 that It's this like paradox where everyone can act like themselves in a very convincing way. Mm-hmm. But then the second you ask them to, they can't. And so it's literally like the acting 101 thing of, can you then break that down and channel a natural, like, authentic thing that you would do and how you would do it, but on command. And so what I'm saying is, I think that there are just like certain people whose expressions are harder to summon, and myself included, from an authentic place without like really putting the work into it.
The other thing I wanted to say kind of on that topic is, I will now be citing another meme at you. I love that trend that's like women, predominantly women, but like all kinds of people like showing like me practicing for my beautiful smile for my wedding day. And it's just like them like giving like soft face to the mirror. And then it's like me on my actual wedding day. And it's like all of their pictures of them like looking like gleeful and overjoyed and like doing the big silly smile and like having a billion chins and like whatever else happens
that's
to people.
That's so cute.
It's so darling, and it like also like makes me laugh every time because there's people, you know, like wedding days are emotional and people will be like grimacing and like laugh crying and like everything, and the transition from like this is what beautiful happiness is like to like what it actually looks like, it's charming to me.
Yeah.
This is not about skating.
No, it's not. But I feel like, I mean, I don't know why we're very much on our, like, performance theory bullshit today, as always, but even more so.
Well,
and that's
the
fine.
One thing
that's
I'm good at, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's our reference point. That's it's something we actually can, like, speak on with some level of expertise. And that's sort of our backdoor into this. But I also want to say that I do think it's really cool that a lot of skaters have been working, in addition to on choreography, they've been working with outside experts on specific things like, you know, Amber working with Madonna's dancers, the Dennis working with, you know,
Maddie Skiza's worked with like a Chinese like traditional dancer.
Yeah. And that lovers. Was, we're not, yeah. And we're not talking about Maddie Skiza's right now, but I will say, that because it's relevant that Maddie is another skater whose natural smile doesn't look like a cartoon smile. And so she has this like big theatrical grin. But I also wonder too, how much of that was like, how much, I don't know much about Chinese traditional dance, but if any of our listeners do, like, is there a lot of like big smiles in that? That's like part of it. I was curious about that and like how much of that was part of
couldn't
it, but
possibly,
I don't know,
I guess.
But all this to say, I really love the way that skaters are seeking outside. And there's a million cases of this, of, you know, people who have played these characters or people or who have, you know, danced this music.
I forget who, and I'm so sorry, but someone who's skating one of the La La Lands, whoever, oh god, why am I blanking?
It's Yuna Aoki.
Is it her who worked with one of the dancers from like the film?
Yeah, those
or
are the
like
skaters.
The dance
you
captain.
Can see it
yeah,
in
like,
their performances.
Yeah.
You can see the little flourishes that really make it perfect.
Yeah.
So anywho, Monet Chiba, I'm not sure if you can get in contact with Shakespeare. It might be hard, but no, I'm just kidding. I actually really love Romeo and Juliet so much. I think it's gorgeous. I think that for me, it's, you know, having Danny describe it as like an internal moment that you're just kind of like peeking into. I see what they mean by that. I don't know that I'm getting it yet, but I feel the potential.
Agreed. Do you want to talk about men?
Yeah, let's do it.
We were just chatting about weddings and stuff, and I do want to talk to you about a man who does kind of dress like he's a wedding guest, but in like a wedding that's not like he's a plus one of a plus one. Stephen Gogolov in his businessman outfit happened.
I just feel like it's really insensitive of you to bring up male figure skating weddings in front of me when Keiji Tanaka just announced that he got married out of the blue, because still like a really difficult topic for me.
I am so sorry. I saw that. I saw like a post about it, and I need you to know that I am your, I respect you and you're one of my bestest friends. And that is the only reason I did not quote tweet that on Podmain to be like, please respect Megan's privacy in this time. Because I wanted to so badly.
Oh,
and I was
that
like,
would
you
be
can't,
really
I was like, you can't learn from a roast on your own show. Like you, I cannot, I didn't have the heart to do that to you. But his wedding pictures look beautiful.
They do, and his wife is gorgeous. And he described her as, like, calm and gentle or something. And I'm like, oh, well, you were never going to get that from me, sweetie, so.
Yeah, I don't think that would have been.
No, I'm happy for him. But anyway,
yeah,
Stephen Gogolov, who may or may not have been there, probably not. But let's talk about him.
It's nice and exciting to see him coming back into his full, like, potential or, like, power. Because we all remember, like, a billion seasons ago when he was a teeny tiny blonde child and he was, you know, so dangerous and like, holy shit, he's so good at skating. Wow, what's happening? And then he fell victim to becoming 6'1".
for a very, very long time. I mean, he's still 61, but...
The B-lengthening comes for everybody.
Well, it didn't come for me. I'm literally a foot shorter than this man. But he got B-lengthened, and it's been, you know, ups and downs for a couple of seasons, and I genuinely think it's so exciting to see him back on a Grand Prix podium. I don't feel anything about either one of his programs in particular, but it's nice to see, like, he's becoming one of those skaters where the conversation is about longevity and about, like, I don't want to say recovery because, like, it's not, like, injury specifically, but, like, growth and, like, coming into your own and all of that, I think is... He could have quit a billion times and he didn't, and I respect that.
Yeah, I like to think that the skating world is sort of learning and has sort of been arcing in the direction of, you know, when there's a child star, we don't paint their immediate rise to fame. We don't paint their rise to fame as it's going to be immediate. We project that it's going to be a long journey over the course of several years and that their eventual trajectory has the potential to be great. But
yeah,
I think what I want to say about him is that the short program baffles me. I don't understand. I don't get it.
I mean,
it's too many noises.
He's kept it.
It's so many noises. Yeah. Most noises, I think, in the ISU Awards is going to go to that program. Most sounds. Most auditorily overwhelming program. But the Free I really like. I think it brings out an artistic side of him that I haven't seen before. Yeah. I think there's something about the music of Rachmaninoff that, like, it's almost like it causes, like, a weird, like, a sleeper cell awakening mm-hmm. in Slavic men where all of yes. a sudden they feel like the cold winds of the motherland and can be expressive and like tap into what Rock himself was feeling.
You know what's funny? You started talking about Rachmaninoff and in the back of my head I was already so ready to defend him.
No,
I'm not a man, but I am Slavic enough that you are like, there's something about Rachmaninoff. And I was so like, I had in the chamber like, oh, I love me some Rachmaninoff.
I was never going to say anything bad about him. I'm always excited about Rock in any context.
It's funny that I'm like, so deep.
What do they
do? Slavic psyche.
What do they do in like Slavic elementary school to like make you be Rachmaninoff's number one shooter and you don't even know it?
It got dark at like 4 o'clock today, and I'm so much farther south than any of those Russian men. It's that, I get it. Adam Xiao-Hempfa was first in the short, second in the free, skating on brand new boots.
New boot goofing.
I just think that if you're breaking in your boots and you're trying to skate at like big events and you're wanting to go to the Olympics and everything and that's in a double digit days away, you should not be backflipping in your brand new boots, because that's how ankle injury happens and that's how broken neck happens.
Yeah,
and it made me it at this point I've given up on the backflip, like whatever, like should we throw a party, etc. Like I don't give a shit. I think it's silly goofy to be doing it in suboptimal equipment, at the very fucking least.
It's new boot goofing.
It is literally new boot goofing.
What I will say is that I don't want to jinx this. Okay. I've never seen a backflip on ice go as horribly wrong as I worry that it will. And, like, knock on wood, I will not see that. But I wonder if it's one of those things that seems to the onlooker to be like the hardest possible thing you can do. And in reality, it's like maybe not actually that hard, to the point where like it would be a concern of like, oh, should I try a quad lutz? But a backflip is fine because it's not that hard. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I have no way of knowing
that. Yeah, I mean, I have opinions, but I've never backflipped on ice and I wouldn't. And I have many opinions and it's whatever. Like, I mean, he was obviously fine, so like good for him, but I do worry. I will tell you this, it's become a joke in at my rank to kind of glide backwards on both feet, kind of like motioning, like threatening to backflip.
Oh, like the Kazuki Tomono.
The Kazuki Tomono special. The Kazuki Tomono special has become a meme, and that's thrilling to me. Like, whenever we're asked to do like a harder element, people on my team will just kind of like, haha, imagine that kind of thing.
I love it. Adam Xiao-Hempfa, he
I continue to love this whole situation.
Like, I do too.
I get it. I get it.
I get it too. The costumes are like trying me a little bit, but like whatever, I'll allow it.
I have something to talk to you about actually with the costumes. Well, kind of about the costumes. I was in Rome like 2 years ago and I loved it. And I got to go to the Vatican, and at the Vatican, well, at the gift shop at the Vatican, I purchased a t-shirt, which I thought was like a very tasteful and like artsy way to say that I went to Rome and the Vatican. And I have this cream-colored shirt with just the hands from the creation of Adam, much like Adam's costume. And I was wearing this like yesterday. I was talking to Jamie and I was like, do we think, is my shirt, which again, I purchased at the Vatican gift shop, is my creation of Adam's shirt Adam Shao Him Fa merch, or is it Daniel Grasso merch because I got it at the Vatican and that's where Conclave happens? Please discuss.
That is so complex.
I genuinely, like, I had a moment yesterday where I was like, this is the layers of understanding figure skating and the men of it required to ask this question.
And because there are many layers to it and it's like mind-blowing, is it Matteo Rizzo merch because he is an Italian who skates to Christopher Nolan music?
Oh, fuck hell.
It all comes back to the inception. But anyway, Adam skating was gorgeous. He continues to be, speaking of what we're saying with the acting on ice, he continues to be like the best at it.
He's just the only actor.
He's the actor.
He's the actor. Like, there's people who can like perform and like hone in on the character. He really fucking gets it, which is why I'm upset when he tries the other stuff, because I genuinely think he is at the most hypest when he is completely locked in and committed. And also, the fucking knee glide. I will never stop talking about it. I will talk about it until it gets so hyped up that he decides that that should be the one element that, like, you know, becomes the Adam. I love it so much. It's so beautiful.
What if his whole program was just that, and he was just bouncing around like a fucking Beyblade, just like
like the thing of when the DVD logo tries to get to the corners.
Yeah, and then when Adam gets to the corner, we all cheer, and that's the new Lutz corner.
I think we've invented air hockey, but instead of like air hockeying, it's
man
a whole man. It's a whole man.
Man hockey? No, that's a thing already. We'll keep workshopping.
Allegedly a thing. I've heard.
But speaking of things that happen on the ice, that Yuma Kageyama happened.
Yuma Kageyama is one of the greatest living skaters. Maybe one of the greatest skaters of all time.
I think he's better than, and then I'm not going to finish that sentence because I think there are a number of skaters I could say that would piss people off that I would feel like, yeah, I agree with that statement. So whatever, but
I agree with you. I agree with you.
I think that, I've said it before, I'll say it again. His I Wish program allows him to be so playful and fun in a way that I hadn't seen before, that I am like so on board. I love this shift in maybe giving a little bit less of a shit about, is there any mathematical possible way that I can win anything? And more like, I'm just going to do the best I can do. Like, for an audience member, that's just such a joy. And it's like, thank you, Yuma, for being so generous with your performance, because it's just like so much more fun to watch.
I completely, completely agree. It also, like, in terms of like packaging and stuff, the short program with then this incredible, epic, like the Olympic worthy free skate.
Unreal.
It's such a smart little package, because if you imagine someone who has never seen figure skating and will sit down and only watch the Olympics, that like lets you in on so much of the personality and like the persona that Yuma is. And I think that's very smart and very fun. And I'm so excited to see how the rest of the season shakes out.
Can I shout out one really small, tiny moment?
Please do. Yes, because I think we're at
a micro moment that gets me every fucking time. That is maybe one of my favorite micro moments on ice ever of all time. It just like it gets me. Is when Yuma is I want to say like in the first half ish of the Turandot, and he's doing some sort of like beautiful choreographical. It's like a outside spread eagle or something. And he puts his arms around himself like he's hugging himself, but he yeah. only touches his middle fingers to his shoulders, and everything else is like in the ballet hand. Like oh. it's so delicate. It's like he's yeah. giving himself this like tiny gentle hug, but like down to the tips of his fingers. It's like
I need
he's
you to
aware.
Know that I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, me too. It's like it's so like I'm hugging
myself.
Hey,
if you're listening,
but
give yourself a middle fingers hug.
Give yourself a middle fingers hug. That's the kind of self-esteem that I bring to the table is like a...
Can I pitch give yourself a middle fingers hug for the title of the episode?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I will. I think I will. I think I will. But give yourself a bird hug today. See how you feel.
Hey, Megan, does this conclude figure skating?
I think it does. It does. I think I'm suffering from plushie burnout where I feel like it's the end of the... Grand Prix season, and I haven't been as good as I could be about recording these plushies because sometimes
nothing incredible happened.
It's
this
flower
time.
Crowns, which I love.
I love when the flower crowns are there. Shout out to the gorgeous people who do the flower crowns. But yeah, I usually like if something incredible happens, I'll be like, oh my god, that's like hashtag plushie corner. And I will say this particular one, nothing too special.
You know, was wild to me was that Soda Yamamoto has a bajillion mm-hmm. fans in Finland, apparently, and he got kind of a plushie reign, and he was getting a lot of Pokemon that were exciting, some deep cuts.
That's cute.
And it was funny because he was so like, I have to get every single one of them, that the flower children were getting frustrated, and my mom was watching with me, and she went, Soda, they have people for that.
Oh, mom. And she's right.
I was like, what if they want some?
Anyway, plushies were kind of mid. What was not mid was the rest of like everything else and everyone else that we got to see skate. We are gonna chat about that and also just kind of like about our hopes and dreams for the final for Patreon this month. And quick programming note, because it's like Thanksgiving and stuff happening and I'm prepping for competing myself and stuff, we're not doing a live stream. There will be no bald caps this time around. It's just going to be a regular little podcast episode coming to your ears on Patreon for yeah. those of y'all who can listen to that. Megan, do you want to tell me who can listen to that?
I do. And I want to say that even though it is technically the November bonus episode, it might come out like first week of December just because of Thanksgiving.
Because we'll everything is happening. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, but if you want to get in on that, you can join these wonderful folks. Wakaba Higuchi's right toe pick, Helen, Neve, Cricket, Laura, T, Christine, Rhea, Anna, Mandolin Arts, Robin is Trans and Tired, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Alina, Catherine, Margaret, Robert, Vox Machina, Samantha, Erin, Joseph, KM, Jules, and Jordan. Thank you guys so much.
And if you're still listening to us, thank you as well. You guys keep us going. You help us keep the lights on here in our fine metaphorical studio. And I'm excited to have, well, I was going to say a week off, but like a fucking talent trophy is happening. Like it's not, I'm excited to have a week away from the Grand Prix. And I can't wait to talk about the rest of the season with you.
Yay.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.